you got, One Eye?
Let her go and we'll leave.
The sec chief shook his head.
The Baron wants her. We need to rebuild the breeding stock, and she's just what we need.
You sure you can't take him, Mildred?
Mildred made a second assessment of the situation.
Sorry, Ryan.
If you don't let her go, there won't be a piece of this farm left standing by the time I'm through with it.
I'll take that chance.
What are we gonna do, Ryan?
I don't know.
The muties had done an exemplary job helping to eliminate the Vill's sec forces, even if that meant that they were doing it by literally eating the soldiers. The entire operation had gone easier than Shiva had expected. So well, in fact, that she didn't even have to utilize her own power reserves to help in the attack. She could command the muties, and that was enough. But all of a sudden, she felt that mutie presence she had experienced before. Not the canine creatures, but the human mutie, her programming referred to as Christy. Christy was in trouble. Shiva extended her consciousness to where Christy was located. Quickly analyzing the situation, she observed that the sec man designated as Fillinger was the one holding her hostage. Shiva's calculations indicated an 85% probability that the man would eventually kill Christy. Searching her database, she brought up any information she had on him. He wasn't a sec man she had assimilated before, but with information she had gathered from some of the fallen sec men in the battle, Shiva established that this Fillinger had recently betrayed the sec chief designated as Grundwald, indirectly causing his death. She had assimilated that soldier years ago, while out on a routine patrol before he became chief. A plan formulated in Shiva's bioelectronic mind. She calculated the probability of successfully implementing her plan without attracting undue attention to herself. Once the computing was done, she smiled.
Well, One Eye, I don't see you leaving.
Can't leave her behind.
Sorry to hear that.
You chiller! There won't be a farm left to rebuild!
It's already gone to shit!
Let her go!
Ryan turned to Mildred.
Take your best shot.
Mildred raised her target pistol slowly, knowing that once the sec chief saw the blaster, she'd only have a split second to take the shot. All of a sudden, there seemed to be some commotion on the roof, although neither Mildred nor Ryan was close enough to make out what was happening. All Mildred knew that if whatever was going on up there would distract Fillinger, she could perhaps get a better vantage point to shoot him. Meanwhile, on the roof, Fillinger was about to receive the shock of his life.
Hey, who's there?
As if in answer to Fillinger's outburst, a dark shape arose from the rear of the roof. Once it came within the new sec chief's field of view, he snapped back in shock. Fillinger was looking at a dead man. His former sec chief was slowly inching towards him. Finally, Fillinger could make out the huge hole in the man's head, courtesy of the Baron's blaster. But there wasn't any blood gushing from the wound. As Fillinger struggled to take in what he was seeing, Grundwald pointed a finger at him.
But how? That's impossible! I saw you die!
Fillinger was frozen where he stood. So terrified that he couldn't even fire his weapon, he watched dumbfounded as Grunwald's finger inexplicably began to stretch toward him, getting thinner and thinner as it came closer. Closer. Contact. Both Fillinger and Christy spasmed in response to Shiva's information download. Although the red-haired woman lost consciousness as a consequence of being in proximity to Fillinger when Shiva touched him, it also had the intended effect of releasing her from the sec chief's grip. Before the Skydark spawn had a chance to examine the woman, she sensed more of Fillinger's allies approaching, most likely brandishing all assortment of weaponry. Many more. Too many. She quickly released Fillinger and fled. Fillinger's body jerked to the right. Stunned, but still upright, he stumbled to keep his balance. On the ground, once the sec chief had inexplicably let go of Christy, Mildred had no trouble marking the target. She raised her ZKR and fired off two rounds, catching the sec chief first in the chest and then in the neck. Fillinger fell off the roof and hit the ground in front of them with a sickening thud.
Let's get up there and grab Christy.
Ryan ran toward the main building. Mildred followed him, five steps behind, all the way through the building, and finally up the ladder that brought them to the roof. But when they got there, all they found was Fillinger's blaster. Christy was gone. JB, Doc, and Dean had taken up a position outside the barn, where they'd been told the Baron kept an LAV and a few transport wags. They had considered storming the barn and capturing one of the wags, but a dozen or more sec men had already gone inside, and following them in would have brought on a firefight. So instead, they parked the wag about 100 yards from the barn doors with the cannon loaded and the 50 calibers aimed at the open door.
How many shells left, Doc?
6, of differing quality from good to questionable.
How about the 50s?
6 feet of belt on the back, 4.5 on the front.
A noise came from inside of the barn.
Hear that?
If I'm not mistaken, that's the rattle and thrum of a diesel engine. Most likely made in the pre-dark city of Detroit, or perhaps one of the smaller villes such as Flint or Pontiac.
Diesel, all right. Get ready.
Doc and Dean manned the 50s. JB tightened his grip on the cannon's trigger. All at once, the door to the barn was filled by a black LAV. It had 4 large wheels, a small compartment for a crew, and a single blaster mounted on a pivot at the top of a conically shaped turret. Its weapon was smaller than the 37mm, and was also pointed in the wrong direction. JB held back until the LAV approached his line of fire. Leading the target by about a yard, he pulled the trigger, and the front wheels of the vehicle were blown off their mounts. The LAV foundered, falling forward like a horse that just had its front legs pulled out from under it. The blaster began to swivel in their direction, but the LAV had come to a stop directly in JB's line of fire. Still, the armorer turned the wheel of the wag to the left and backed it up about 2 feet, bringing the LAV's turret directly in line with the cannon's barrel.
Doc, is it loaded?
In the back of the wag, Doc was busily making sure that the gun was loaded and wouldn't jam on the next round.
Doc!
Do not wait for me, John Barrymore.
JB pulled the trigger, and the cannon roared again, this time hitting the LAV's turret and shattering its blaster. The top of the LAV popped open, and sec men began to scramble out. Dean peppered them with 50 caliber fire, killing 2 and sending the other running unarmed and empty-handed out of the complex.
Hot pipe!
The dungeon was little more than a damp, dark, and musty basement. It housed water heaters and electric heaters to keep the farm buildings warm through the winter, as well as filters and a few tables with seedlings being cultivated under banks of fluorescent lights. 6 women were chained to the cinderblock wall behind them. All appeared to be in their third trimester and ready to give birth at any time. But unlike the well-kept plants being cultivated under the lights, these women had been abandoned in the dark. Jack found a light switch that turned on a single bulb in an old ceiling fixture, and the women cringed under the dim light. The floor was cold and wet, stinking of feces and urine, and crawling with bugs that seemed to roam over the women's bodies with a purpose, as if the living beings were simply part of the terrain. Not surprisingly, the bodies of the women were covered with sores and scabs. Their flesh was pale white and pasty in texture, like the skin Jack had seen on hundreds of muties over the years. And then there were their eyes. They were full of fear, terrified that they'd be beaten, raped, or otherwise abused. If the Baron had brought women down to this place to break their spirit and obliterate their will to resist him, he had succeeded. These women were waiting to die as much as they were waiting to give birth.
Which one, your sister?
Clarissa stared at the 6 women with a confused look on her face.
I'm not sure.
Jack wasn't surprised. These women barely looked human.
Melanie?
Jack didn't wait for any of them to answer. He began unlocking all the women. As he did so, the second woman from the end called out.
Is that you, Clarissa? What's going on?
Clarissa lifted her sister off the damp and dirty floor. Melanie was unable to stand straight after months of crouching on the cold hard floor, but Clarissa bent to put her arms around her.
You came back for me.
Clarissa was near tears.
I never left.
What?
I stayed outside the farm, waiting for the chance to rescue you.
Who is he?
By now, the other 5 women were on their shaky feet as well. And they all seemed to want to know the answer to that question, too. Clarissa dried her sister's eyes.
This is Jack Lauren.
Jack gave them a slight wave.
He and his friends have freed the slaves.
Free?
Jack nodded. He pointed to the stairs leading out of the dungeon, and then out of the building.
This way.
The morning sun was just beginning to peek over the eastern horizon. It felt warm and comforting after a long, dark night full of chilling.